Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. I'm your host this morning, Phil Huff. This is a recorded interview we have with several folks on the topic of the upcoming Idaho Gives Live Give 7B local edition of that. We have Katie Bogalke, the Executive Director of the Community Resource and Vision Center. And we have Bill Fingraff, Philanthropic Advisor for the Idaho Community Foundation. And Emma Hoagland, Community Engagement Associate for North Idaho. Welcome to the show. We'll start with Katie. Tell us a little bit about your background, what you do at the Envision Center, and a little bit about the Envision Center.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Well, my background has nothing to do with nonprofit work. I was a freelance graphic designer. Before that, I was an art director at the Kohler Company, which was an incredible career. I got to go to Scotland a couple times and to Paris and all over the United States, leading photo shoots and web redesigns and all kinds of things that have really nothing to do with philanthropy or nonprofit leadership. But it led me to Sandpoint in 2017. I was freelancing and I needed to make a quick move out of Seattle, and it landed me here. And what I was met with was an incredible community of compassionate leaders and resources that helped me with a very unique set of circumstances that I was struggling with at the time. And I just felt completely encapsulated by the love of this community and a lot of the organizations that I get to work with now at the Community Resource and Vision Center.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about the Envision Center while we're on you.
Yeah.
Its role in the community, a little brief history, mission, vision.
Yeah. So the Community Resource and Vision Center started out as the Sandpoint Resource Center. And that was 16 years ago. It was started by two gentlemen.
It's been 16 years already.
16 years. Yeah. Yeah. So two gentlemen who started that, they were helping a veteran in need get connected to resources. And what they found was that it wasn't as easy as they thought it might be. They were met with a lot of dead ends when they were looking at websites or phone numbers that were no longer in order, email addresses to people that were no longer working at those organizations. And they started a resource directory. It was a little printed booklet, and they would print that quarterly and share that with, you know, all sorts of people. It could be educators, it could be our police force, first responders, anyone who might be connecting with people that need a little bit of assistance. Now, and
I remember when Dave Peets was first telling you about it, and I think he was taking phone calls on his personal cell phone and occasionally stopping in at the old Columbia Bank building and sitting at a desk in the empty lobby.
Definitely. That sounds like Dave. Dave would give his phone number out to anyone. The organization was ran all by volunteers for the longest time. I believe in 2017 was the first time they hired someone, and that was when they hired my predecessor, Linus Jelinek. And she was the executive director for several years and grew a staff. And we moved in 2019 from the bank building over to where we are currently, which is in the old Coldwater Creek campus. And we've got quite the office over there. We just added another 4,300 square feet, so we're up to 14,300 square feet of space. And we have 35 different partners in there, 17 of which are nonprofits. And the rest are businesses, solo entrepreneurs. We've got all sorts of folks.
I think you're reaching the size we would call that a campus rather than an office.
Yeah, and we want to keep expanding that. We find that there's so much strength in our network. We're able to really understand the people that are working on our floor. It goes beyond nonprofits. We have some web developers on our floor. I know for a fact that he has about 5 new clients just from referrals from me, some of which are nonprofits and other are for-profits. And we find that we're so much stronger together and that we're able to serve and get a better understanding of our community member when you're with people that are in need and meeting needs and everywhere in between. So we've just been going gangbusters. We have several nonprofit fundraisers that do really well. We're the hosts of the Festival of Trees. We've been doing that for 3 years now. We have a golf tournament, an annual golf tournament, and that's in its 6th year. And right now we're undergoing our 2nd year of a Kentucky Derby party, which is sure to be a blast.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get on to the Live Give 7B Idaho Gives event in a moment, but let's turn to the Idaho Community Foundation first. I don't know who would like to go first and talk about the history of the organization. I'm seeing Bill's perhaps the more senior person of our individuals with us today. Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do for Idaho Community Foundation, and then a bit about the organization.
Sure. Thanks again for having us all. And like Katie, I did not come from the nonprofit sector. I made a bit of a pivot from the beer industry, actually. but I was in the beer industry for about a decade. Prior to that, I worked in Sandpoint at Tom's Differentials.
Oh, funny.
So if anybody can remember that, out on Kootenai Cutoff Road there. But yeah, working with auto parts, and that's actually part of the reason Tom Watt, the owner there, he inspired me to get my own International Scout. He had one of those, and I just thought it was the coolest car ever. And I was like, I got to find one of these. And eventually I did. It was years later. But yeah, it's definitely been a passion project. But kind of getting back to the task at hand, the Idaho Community Foundation was founded in 1988, and historically, we've created charitable funds for individuals, families, or businesses to support the nonprofit sector, schools, scholarships for students in the state of Idaho, and even some government programs within the state of Idaho. More recently, we've merged with the Idaho Nonprofit Center. That was about a year and a half ago. And I'll let Emma kind of talk a little bit more about the programmatic work that we've been diving into since that merger.
So tell us a little bit about what your role is as
philanthropic
advisor.
I kind of glazed over that. So philanthropic advisor definitely is a bit of a vague title, but I guess my main task would be the creation of those charitable funds, working with individuals, families, and businesses to support the nonprofit sector across Idaho. We create, again, funds that support schools, nonprofits, and then we also create scholarship funds as well. I'd say that's a big differentiating factor. A lot of people, consider like donor-advised funds with maybe larger commercial entities like Charles Schwab or Fidelity. And that's one differentiating factor is that we can actually create scholarship funds for people rather than simply just a cut and dry vanilla donor advised fund like those other larger commercial providers. Mm-hmm. But I will say that there's quite a bit of overlap with the nonprofit center programmatic work and my position. At least since I've started, I haven't known any better because I've been with ICF for about a year and a half. Like I joined just after the merger, so I didn't know any different. but when I talk to some of the older tenured staff members, this is all new to them, and they're like, "Wow, this is just so much changing." I was like, same for me. I don't know.
It's an interesting evolution having a former life in the nonprofit world and working with both Idaho Community Foundation and the Idaho Nonprofit Center. At first, the merger seemed, well, I'll just say odd, but it's now more natural after a year and a half, 2 years in. And there is such a large intersect between the general realm of philanthropy and the work that nonprofits do that it does make sense.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that, it's wonderful with the merger that it's added capacity in both respects. The merger allowed us to both organizations who prior were not eligible, but now after the merger were eligible to apply for a Murdoch grant. And that has allowed for us to expand the nonprofit center's positions across the state. I mean, obviously now Emma Hoagland here is a new representative, working exactly on those types of programmatic efforts.
Woot woot.
That was Katie.
Congratulations.
That was Katie.
That's a natural segue to turn to Emma and introduce her to the community, talk a little bit about what you do for the Idaho Community Foundation, Emma.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. I have the honor of having served in nonprofits for about the last 6 years of my career. I started in education. I was a high school English teacher for several years in Washington State. And when my family and I moved here to the Coeur d'Alene area, I really had a decision to make, and that was to either go back into education or to look for something new. And as I was thinking about my favorite parts of being a teacher, I realized that the things that really made me passionate and come alive were serving my students and helping the families. And, you know, as a teacher, you come to call your students your kids because you build relationships with them and you build relationships with their families. And what comes out of relationship is trust and a sharing of needs if there are needs there. And so I naturally was a person who wanted to connect those families with resources or help in whatever capacity. And so as I really pondered that, as I thought about what my career in Idaho was going to be, I decided to join a local nonprofit in the Coeur d'Alene area that specifically provided services for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. So I was a frontline worker as a crisis advocate, both in our local shelter and in the hospital. And that job just kind of blew my world wide open. It was a time where I recognized the deep need in my community, but at the same time, kind of to anchor in Katie's story as well, it's incredible to see the community that comes around individuals who have those needs, and to see the nonprofit sector show up for people who are in desperate need is something that as soon as you see it, you want to be a part of it. And so that kind of role in frontline care with nonprofit services was something I did for several years. And then I transitioned into grant writing and grant management and some nonprofit administration roles as well. And so when the role for community engagement came up with the Idaho Community Foundation, I was really excited, as this is a brand new role. It's the first time they've had community engagement associates in not just Boise, but throughout the state. And what I get to do every day is meet with nonprofit leaders, community members, business owners, and really talk through what support looks like for the nonprofit sector. And sometimes support looks like bringing education for those nonprofit leaders, and that's something through ICF and through the Nonprofit Center that we're able to do, whether that's online trainings, in-person conferences, or leadership cohorts. Another way that support really invests itself within the community through ICF is Idaho Gives, and we're going to talk about that, our yearly online statewide giving opportunity. So it's just an exciting role to have, to be able to directly engage with the community at large and help our nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much work to be done.
Yes.
And it's so wonderful to have those resources here in the nonprofit community in Idaho and in North Idaho. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Let's go directly then to Idaho Gives and its local iteration 7B Gives, and someone jump in and give us first just a quick snapshot of the dates coming up, and then let's delve into the history of Idaho Gives for listeners who may be new to the area and this is the first time they're hearing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll feel free to jump in from the Idaho Community Foundation perspective, and then I can let Bill jump in if there's anything, and then Katie for that local Live Give 7B. So Idaho Gives is a program that began with the Idaho Nonprofit Center in 2013. It began as a 24-hour giving opportunity for the state. And what kind of shocked the Nonprofit Center was that in 24 hours, they raised over $500,000. And so it was really a light bulb moment for their organization to realize that Idaho was in need of something that was a statewide giving opportunity where the funds go directly to the nonprofits and then those funds stay in the local community. But through this statewide visibility of this program, hopefully donors get to learn about nonprofits that they love a little bit more, but also get to engage with nonprofits that they're not aware of. And so it's been through several iterations since 2013, whether it's that 24 hours, they had a 2-week window for Idaho Gives, but in the last few years post-COVID, they've settled on this 4-day structure. And so it is taking place this year, May 4th through 7th. You can visit idahogives.org to see all of the participating nonprofits. As of today, we have 708 nonprofits participating statewide, and over 106 of those are specific to North Idaho, which is very, very mm-hmm. exciting to see the growth and expansion of this program, not just throughout the state, but in our northern counties as well.
So someone listening says, I want to participate. How do they do that?
The nonprofits participate by going to idahogives.org. They register their organization, and then they have their own Idaho Gives page. And on that page within the website, they're able to set up donation tiers. Through those tiers, you're able to really explain programmatically where those dollars are going towards. For example, to shout out friends of Scotchman's Peak, their Idaho Gives page specifically has $25 donation levels that can go towards a new tool to help the trails be ready to go for summer, and a $1,000 level for porta potties, which we all desperately need when you're on those trails. So you're able to not just show your donors where your money's going towards, but also programmatically lay out what your organization mm-hmm. has to do. You also, as a nonprofit, have the opportunity to share your story, whether that's through written content or photos or a video. And then as donations come in, you're able to see those donations. So you're able to see the name of that donor and how much they gave, or they can make it anonymous. But it's a very interactive site for not only the nonprofit to see those donations roll in and then capture all that donor data, but also for the donors themselves to be able to integrate, you know, or inform themselves on all of the nonprofits that we mm-hmm. have, not just within your community, but statewide.
And so donors who want to participate then go to the central website and get directed?
Exactly. Yes, you go to idahogives.org. There's a search button at the top where you can specifically look up your favorite nonprofit. But there's also a button just to view all of the participating nonprofits, which then you can categorize by cause or by city or by county. And so anyone's able to go on and view. And we always hope you go donate to your favorite nonprofit, but stay on the site for a few more minutes and see what other amazing work mm-hmm. our nonprofits are doing throughout the state. And then it's just an easy, simple donate button from the individual site, the individual page of the nonprofit, and you're able to go through. It takes about 2 minutes. Easy peasy.
Sounds easy.
I also wanted to add, as far as donor engagement, you can also be a champion of your favorite nonprofit. So similar to a structure where you say, hey, I'm doing a 5K, 10K, or marathon, whatever it may be, and please donate to XYZ effort or program in support of this run that I'm doing. So it's a very similar structure to that, where somebody can be a champion of their favorite or favorite plural nonprofits. And that's definitely a great mode. I believe it's what the average nonprofit that had a champion would raise $12,000 more overall as far as last year goes. So it's definitely a format that we want to encourage people to use just because it gets a lot more people involved in that fundraising effort.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bill. Well, that brings us to Live Give 7B. How did that start? What exactly is Live Give 7B?
Yeah, so Live Give 7B is the localized version of Idaho Gives. It's in its second year. It kind of came out of, we didn't run it during the same time as Idaho Gives last year, so we're really excited to be partnering. I think it brings a lot more strength and clarity to the program. And really what this is a distilled version that is for Bonner County. We had last year 73 participating organizations raise over $229,000 collectively, and we found that to be a wild success, and we're super excited to be doing this again this year. So this year, what we did recognize, though, was that in the giving that took place last year, a third of the organizations didn't raise a single penny. And so what we wanted to do was come alongside those nonprofits and help prepare them for this campaign. And what we've recognized at the Envision Center is that there is a very wide breadth of skill sets within our nonprofits. Some of them are run strictly by volunteers. Some have an executive director and no staff. Some are completely board-led. And so working alongside these nonprofits to help them with these toolkits and just be able to answer questions. Emma and Bill have also been at those nonprofit work summits to help them if they are also participating in the overall Idaho Gives campaign. So it's been really a wonderful opportunity also for us to just kind of collaborate as a group and learn from one another.
Mm-hmm. So the two are running in conjunction, and tell us a little bit more about how they work together.
Yeah. So all of the nonprofits had the opportunity to choose whether they wanted to create an Idaho Gives page, or if they didn't have the time and capacity to create an Idaho Gives page, to just simply add their logo and a donation page, donation link to the LiveGive7B.org. Actually, it's 7B.org. No, 7BGives.org website. Holy moly. And
Google it, and Google will sort out the web domain.
It'll find it for you, I promise. And so all of those websites, they either link to their donation page or they link to the donation page on the Idaho Gives page. And so we are then tallying manually some of those donations throughout mm-hmm. the week. But this is an opportunity for us to give more eyesight on the Bonner County nonprofits, for us to make this an awareness campaign. Some of the nonprofits that were participating are less about necessarily raising money and want to raise more awareness. Some wanted to raise more volunteers. And so they are messaging and tailoring their messaging for that specifically with this toolkit that we're providing them through this program.
Yeah, the donations of money and human capacity really help make things go round and round.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so you're in the studio together, and you've mentioned the training exercises. So clearly the Envision Center and Idaho Community Foundation are working as a unit together. Other partners?
Yeah, well, so right now it's the two of us have been, three of us. Sorry, Bill.
That's all right.
I'll
consider myself a half. So two and a half.
The two and a half of us have been getting on this pretty darn well. We couldn't have done this without our sponsors. So each of these trainings came with a lunch, and we had about 40 people at each of the trainings, and Mountain West Bank, Lighthouse Foods, and Capstone Accounting and Tax came alongside us to make sure that we were well fed. And then the Inovia Foundation has been playing a part in this as well. And so none of this goes without funding, right? We have mm-hmm. our website that is up year round. Just like the Idaho Gives website, people can go on there to see all of the participating nonprofits. They can search by cause. So say you're really into education, you can just type in education, and all of the groups that are educational focused will pop up. And so we're really pleased about that. And it just pays for our time. It pays for yard signs. We're hoping that everyone will see yard signs popping up around the county this week. And those will be in the yards of our nonprofit leaders and staffers and volunteers or board members. Mm-hmm. And if you are a nonprofit and you're listening to this and you haven't gotten your sign, come to our office. There's still some there. And then during LiveGive7B and Idaho Gives Week, we are implementing some spirit days to really get folks engaged in community activities. So on Monday, we're asking all of our nonprofit partners to dress in their 50s attire. And this is a nod mm-hmm. to Lost in the 50s and Carolyn Gleason, and just what a nonprofit impact can make on a community.
And that's Monday the 4th.
That is Monday the 4th. Yep. And so, you know, we like it because it also is a conversation starter, right? Why are you wearing 50s here at the grocery store? You're off by a few weeks. And it's, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Let me tell you why.
Buttons or something for people to wear the show LiveGive7B?
We should have buttons. We are very stingy with our money because not a lot is coming in. And so, you know, that merchandise swag part is a good one. We could do some stickers or buttons.
Magnetic bumper stickers last year. Do you still have those?
I have mine on my car.
Yeah.
I don't know where those all went. I think those were handed out.
I have one. It was on the old car I traded in, but I took it off.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's on a different car now.
Yeah. I can't say I see a lot of those around town. No. But then we also have really fun activities also. So on Cinco de Mayo, that's Tuesday, May 5th, we're doing a town toast at the 219 at 219 p.m. And so we're inviting folks to come down and maybe have a little toast of tequila to just bring in a gratitude for Mel Dick and 219 Lounge and just for businesses that consistently show up for our nonprofit sector.
Start your Cinco de Mayo celebration early.
Yeah, why not? They have a capacity of 94 individuals at the 219, and I am determined to get 94 people there for that town toast.
Does that count the outside patio?
That's only inside, so we could go above and beyond.
If the weather stays anywhere remotely like it's been lately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be a way easier pull and push to make that happen. So then we also have a bridge rally on Wednesday, May 6th. We're inviting people to bring their yard signs down to the end of the south side of the bridge, wave at some traffic, give them a relief from people holding political signs, and let them see something else that really is just heartfelt. And May 7th, we're doing another beer at Utara Brewing Company and thanking them for their participation and support of the nonprofit sector.
Will that be at the Pine Street Pub or the place out on Boyer?
It is at the Pine Street Pub.
Okay.
Yes, Pine Street Pub. And then the whole thing ends on May 8th, and we're going to do, I'm actually very, very excited about this. Just this weekend, I was buffing up on my Card Shark skills. So the Card Sharks is a game show from the 70s, and it's fabulous. They do a question, and there's two opponents, and they have to answer a question, and it's really just a game of higher, lower. But it's a great opportunity for us to showcase the numbers that that were raised during the week, how we are up against the other counties across the state, recognizing our donors and our sponsors. And so to be on the show, to be a contestant on the show, you have to be a sponsor. So we're going to be pulling from our sponsors, and then we're going to be growing a community kitty that will keep growing throughout the week, and whoever that winner is going to get a big pot to donate to their favorite nonprofit cause.
Well, that sounds like it could be fun. I don't remember. I didn't watch much TV in the 70s, so.
You know, I wasn't alive in the 70s, but when I graduated college, I was working at the Kohler Company, and I would come home for lunch to my parents' house the one year I lived at home after college. My little brother was still in high school, and we'd watch Card Shark reruns during my lunch hour. Full circle.
The power of Google and YouTube, we could find it. I'm
sure. It's great. So, yeah. It's really great.
So there's a challenge out there to listeners. Watch Card Sharks between now and then so you can appreciate the event.
Yeah, I will be sending some links to all of our sponsors so nobody's like, what are you trying to make me do? It's pretty low-key investment, and all you have to do is say higher, lower.
Higher, lower. Okay. Well, speaking of higher low, we heard a few numbers earlier, but let's revisit those. What does participation look like? What are the goals for this year for statewide and locally?
Absolutely. Thank you. So we do have some goals for Idaho Gives this year. Our goal was to have 700 nonprofits participating across the state. And I'm happy to share that as of today, we have 708 nonprofits registered for Idaho Gives, which is fabulous. Our goal is to have 20,000 unique donors, which is about 2% of our statewide population. Last year, we had 13,000. So it is it's a large goal, but we're very excited to attain that. And then financially, we would like to see $6 million come in. Last year, we brought in $5.1 million. And a big piece of that was the partnership with Live Give 7B, as we were able to add their contribution to our Idaho Gives total, which really was the amount that sent us over $5 million. So we are excited to see if we can reach that $6 million goal this year.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful outreach opportunity also. Having, again, worked for nonprofits before and participated as a donor in these, I know it's so easy to go to the website, choose the nonprofit that you're primarily interested in, then stay and look around some others. And for those others, they're picking up potentially new supporters, new members as an outreach tool. It's fabulous.
Yes, absolutely. I was even having a conversation about that with the, I'm gonna forget the name, but the Friends of the Water, help me out, Phil.
Water Life Discovery.
Water Life Discovery Center. Yes, I was meeting with them this morning, and that was a big piece that they were excited about, was the statewide visibility for their organization. The hope that, yes, if a donor is excited about conservation or environmental causes, they can find one of their favorites and then hopefully also discover that nonprofit or another nonprofit in that same kind of cause area. So that's definitely a big piece that is really helpful for our nonprofits that participate in both.
They're well positioned for that as a long time effort, but a fairly new organization, mm-hmm. Friends of. They should be able to gather knowledge that here they are, now they've started, but from folks who have supported the Water Lake Discovery Center in other ways.
Yes, and through the Idaho Community Foundation, we also do weekly shout outs of the nonprofits that are participating in Idaho Gives through our social media, like LinkedIn and Instagram. So we're doing our part as well to be able to promote those regional nonprofits that are participating, because that's the goal, right? The goal is just to raise visibility of these organizations, whether that's for, you know, financial donations or, like Katie was mentioning, volunteers or even potential board members. So the hope is that, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. And so that's what these two campaigns are really, really focusing on together.
Mm-hmm. Katie, Idaho Gives, Live Give 7B in year two. How do you hope it goes?
Yeah, well, we had hoped that we could raise our funding by 20%. So $275,000 goal this year financially. We don't have as many nonprofits signed up as the first year. First year, we had 73 organizations signed up. This year, we're in the high 50s. And I don't know if that's because of awareness or because maybe those were some of the groups that didn't raise any funds last year. But what we're really excited about is just all of the foundational work that we've been doing with these organizations and the work on their messaging, some basics that are going to really be forward motion for them throughout the entire year. It's been a lot of great practice for them about, you know, identifying donors, identifying their real need, whether that's a financial need or a volunteer need, and then also just really kind of honing in on that messaging that makes it very crystal clear for people to understand what would happen without them in our community. So we're excited to have all of these assets unveiled and hopefully hitting everyone's eyeballs and ear sockets and everything during the week of Live Give 7B and Idaho Gives.
Very good. Well, let's hope it all goes well. I'm sure it will. We're winding down the interview. I think we've gone through all of the questions that listeners might be interested in, but there's always things that surprise me. Let's go for closing thoughts, and we'll finish with you, Katie. Bill, anything more you'd like to talk about?
Sure. I would definitely mention that, you know, we work with nonprofit, we're kind of a one-stop shop for nonprofits, and that was kind of a big part of that merger. Is, you know, historically ICF had been kind of a financial steward for nonprofits with their endowment funds and being that financial steward of those funds and providing the power of endowment for different organizations. But now that we've merged with the Nonprofit Center, now we provide educational resources for nonprofits and try to increase their capacity because, you know, like Emma said earlier, a rising tide lifts all boats. Mm-hmm. And that's what ICF wants to be for the nonprofit sector across the state.
Very good. Emma.
I mean, I don't have anything necessarily to add, but I think for me, just as a person who lives in North Idaho, I'm just so excited to be able to see these efforts, whether it's statewide or something localized like Live Give 7B. I mean, this can be a dark time sometimes to be alive, not just even those that are a part of nonprofits, but just for all of us. And so to have the ability to see the amount of nonprofits that are participating in both of these campaigns, to get to know their stories. I mean, Katie, Bill, and I have been fortunate to sit in the room with these nonprofits and to hear their challenges, but to also hear their incredible successes and to see the long-term impact of their work. And so to be able to be a part of a state and a community that is putting intentional effort behind supporting our nonprofits is just something incredible to be a part of. So, you know, just as a person in these communities, and even as a mom, you know, my kids are raising their dollars for Idaho mm-hmm. Gives, and it just mm-hmm. feels incredible to be a part of something collective that gives back. So I'm just excited for everyone that gets to participate. Mm.
Yeah, giving and gratitude are definitely an antidote to dark times, I think.
Yes.
Bill?
Yeah, sorry, I just wanted to jump back in. Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, Idaho as a state certainly has a bedrock of philanthropy. I think everybody in here knows that Sandpoint is definitely a special place. And, you know, Idaho as a whole, we are eighth in the nation as far as donating time, volunteerism. So it definitely shows that people really care about their communities and want to give back. And for many people, Sandpoint is their happy place. I know it certainly has been for a long time for myself and my family, but, you know, that's what I see as a value, for Idaho Gives, is that it can bring some of those outside donors that maybe just come here in the summertime, maybe just come here in the wintertime, but remember Sandpoint for being kind of that happy place and that bright spot in their life, and want to preserve that.
Yeah, that's a great thought. Katie, that's a tough act to follow.
Oh, you know, I'm just thrilled that we get to celebrate collective impact. You know, all of us nonprofits, you know, the 3 times the national average per capita here, you know, it can feel like a competition sometimes. And I think that this is a really great way for us to come together to show really this community what is possible because of their generosity, and also because of all of these leaders and volunteers and board members that make this work possible. And it really is just a bright spot in our community. I cannot imagine what Sandpoint would look like without these groups. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just come together and celebrate and have a really great time at that town shot on Cinco de Mayo yeah. at 2:19. Well, I don't want to be the only one there. I'll
you're speaking
like
my language. I mean, I've definitely never done tequila shots at 2:19.
You know, this is crazy. So I had a meeting over at the Hive on February 19th, which is 2:19, and I was there at 2:19, and they have a shot at 2:19. They all, and I was like, Oh my gosh,
there is a
I didn't even realize what I just stumbled upon. And also, like, what was I doing there at 2:19 in the afternoon? Killing time before I saw Mac, and it was freezing. It was February.
There is a regular crowd, so I'm told,
yes.
who gathers at the 2:19 at 2:19.
So yeah.
It's the alcoholics version of 4:20.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So right. I'm glad you mentioned the multiple contributions that individuals make to keep the nonprofit world going. It's really a fabulous part of the contribution. And in honor of our English teacher, I'd like to recite from Cahil Gibran's poem on giving. Cahil Gibran said, "You give but little when you give of your possession. It's when you give of yourself that you truly give." And I think that's what the spirit of Idaho Gives and Live Give 7B and the philanthropic nonprofit world are all about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
So I want to thank everybody for coming on the show this morning. Katie with the Envision Center, Emma and Bill with the Idaho Community Foundation. As always, if you've listened to part of this interview and you'd like to hear the interview in its entirety, you can go to KRFY.org and click on the podcast section. Until next time, this is The Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff. Have a good day.